From the Lever's reader-supported newsroom, this is Lever Time. I'm David Sirota. You probably know that when private equity billionaires come to your town and go on a buying spree, something bad is about to go down. Your local factory is going to get hit with layoffs. Your local hospital is about to jack up its prices. Your favorite store is going to get shuttered. Private equity executives promised that this kind of pillaging brings big profits to their investors. So what happens when they bring their tactics into your retirement savings account? Are you going to profit off the pillaging, or are you going to be the one getting pillaged? Are you going to be right there with those billionaires feasting at their table, or is your 401k going to be what's on their menu? This is not a hypothetical question. The Trump administration is reportedly considering an executive order designed to let private equity billionaires into millions of Americans' 401k accounts. On today's episode of Lever Time, we talk to a top economist and a former federal regulator about the private equity industry that sees your retirement savings as its next big profit opportunity. Will this change be a huge boost to the working class that puts them into a harmonious partnership with the titans of Wall Street as those titans pillage communities across the country? Or is this more of a con, one that lets those Wall Street guys use your life savings as their bailout fund when they suddenly face serious cash flow problems? And if it is a con, can you protect yourself from getting fleeced? That's all coming up on today's episode of Lever Time.
We will have regular meetings with the president, and it's supposed to be every month. And so that's a very interesting thing in a rapidly changing environment. But
the audio you're hearing is from a Wall Street earnings call from 2017. You're hearing billionaire Steve Schwarzman, the mega Republican donor and CEO of the world's largest private equity firm. Schwarzman had just been appointed to run incoming President Donald Trump's new Strategic and Policy Forum. During this conference call back then, Schwarzman was boasting about directly advising the president while also running his company, Blackstone, which has all sorts of investments that intersect with the government policy that Schwarzman would be helping to shape. Schwarzman eventually started talking about one of his lifelong aspirations, the white whale of the entire private equity business.
You know, in life you have to have a dream, and one of the dreams is our desire and the market's need to have more access at retail to alternative asset products.
Alternative assets. That's a euphemism for private equity, hedge funds, and other complex and opaque investments. Those investments are so high risk and charge such high fees that federal laws have long prohibited Wall Street from putting workers' 401k savings into them. But here was Steve Schwarzman, a top donor and advisor to President Trump, saying that his dream was to get those laws changed. And he said his dream was all about an altruistic desire to help America's struggling retirees.
At the moment, you know, a lot of people are not allowed to put those into retirement vehicles and other types. What it's doing is denying people sort of a better retirement.
But then, if you were listening really closely, came the admission about what Schwarzman's real goal is.
If there's a change in that area, that becomes a huge opportunity for the firm.
A huge opportunity for the firm, meaning big, big money for private equity. You can almost envision the dollar signs in his eyes when he concluded by saying,
there's an ability for something to get changed that could be really, really impactful.
In Trump's first term, private equity companies ended up getting a lot of what they wanted. Billionaires like Steve Schwarzman got huge tax cuts, and Trump preserved the special tax loophole that lets private equity moguls pay an artificially low tax rate on the money that they make off investors' cash. Trump's Department of Labor sorta kinda took a baby step to try to make it easier for private equity to get into your 401k, but it didn't really go all the way. At the end of Trump's first term, private equity billionaires still didn't land their white whale, unrestricted access to Americans' 401k accounts. But now fast forward to today. 8 years after Steve Schwarzman's conference call, his dream of policy changes letting private equity tap into Americans' retirement savings now seems on the verge of becoming a reality, as recently reported by Bloomberg News.
It's time now for the Wall Street Beat. It's the talk of the town. The Trump administration is finalizing an executive order that would allow 401k retirement plans to invest in private equity. This move would be a major win for the industry. PE stocks are rallying on the news.
This may sound like a technical change and just a boring business story, but this is a big deal. Really, it's a huge deal. For the first time in American history, the most rapacious predators on Wall Street may gain totally unfettered access to the nearly $9 trillion collectively held in 70 million Americans' 401k accounts. This is all coming at a particularly dangerous moment. Today, only 9% of American workers have guaranteed pensions, a number that has sharply fallen in the last few decades. So tens of millions of Americans are relying on 401k savings accounts for their retirement. And a survey from last year found that 4 in 10 Americans are behind on their retirement savings. Meanwhile, more and more Americans are withdrawing money from their 401k accounts for emergency situations. Nearly 5% of Americans with these accounts took hardship distributions last year, a number that's been rising over the last several years. This means that people are more frequently turning to their retirement savings to pay off things like their medical debt, funeral expenses, and tuition for school. The Wall Street Journal reported that almost a third of Americans who leave their jobs every year end up liquidating their retirement accounts. So suddenly letting private equity firms into those retirement accounts is a really big change, because if that affects how much those accounts earn for American workers and retirees, it could make or break millions of families in all sorts of ways. Now, I want to go back to that Bloomberg News report about private equity firms gaining access to your 401k. Listen carefully to what it focused on.
Private equity firms are really always looking for new frontiers for growth, especially the public ones. You know, they're trying to grow assets under management. They're trying to grow fees, expand their business. You've got some $12 trillion that they have not tapped. So if they could get even a slice of that, that opens up a whole new channel for growth and for revenues.
Did you notice something missing? That's right. As with Schwarzman's conference call, Bloomberg, like most of the business press, focused a lot on how this would enrich private equity firms, but there's not much mention of how this would help or hurt the workers and retirees whose savings are being tapped. That omission is no accident. It's part of preserving a well-kept secret, one that we're going to break open in this episode. Today on Lever Time, we're going to do what other news outlets rarely do. We're going to look at what this would mean, not just for the richest Wall Street billionaires, but also what it would mean for the rest of us, the hundredaires and the thousandaires who are or will be relying on our retirement accounts in our old age. And we're going to get some help from some of the smartest people in the world on this subject.
I am Eileen Applebaum. I'm the co-director at the Center for Economic and Policy Research. I have been working on private equity at least since 2010. I published a book with Rosemary Bott in 2014 that looked at how private equity firms treat the companies that they acquire, what happens to their workers, and so on.
Eileen Applebaum has been one of my go-to sources on this particular topic. So as I began to look at the push to let private equity into your 401k, I asked her to first explain what private equity actually is and how it differs from the stocks and bonds that people usually put into their retirement accounts.
So a private equity firm is an investment firm, and it recruits investors, recruits partners to invest in its private equity funds. The interesting thing is that the private equity firm contributes 1 to 2 cents for every dollar that their limited partners, their investors, contribute to the fund.
In other words, private equity executives are almost always gambling, not mostly with their own cash, but mostly with what Naughty by Nature famously called OPP.
Get out with OPP.
OPP, other people's property.
At the end of the day, when they sell properties, if they're able to do it at a profit, the private equity firm, which put up 1% to 2% of the equity, takes 20% of the winnings. So that's a nice little a gig if you can get it. They go into industries, into firms, into cities, into communities, and they buy up all kinds of assets, housing, hospitals, supermarket chains, they're everywhere. And they buy these up. And the idea is that they will make them better than they were before and sell them at a profit.
Okay, that doesn't sound so bad, right? In fact, maybe that sounds pretty good. Wall Street guys using their investors' money to buy up struggling companies. They drop in, they fix a few things, everybody wins, right? Yeah, sometimes that happens, but a lot of times it doesn't. Quite often, investors' money is used to buy up companies, load them up with debt, force them into bankruptcy, strip what's left for parts, and then sell them off, all while laying off their employees along the way, just like the Bobs did in the movie Office Space.
Getting rid of these people here. First, Mr. Samir not gonna work here anymore anyway. And Mr. Mike.
And what's left behind also isn't that great. Studies have suggested that private equity-owned nursing homes have higher death rates. Private equity-owned hospitals jack up their prices and have lower patient satisfaction. And private equity-owned veterinarians are raising costs for pet owners. It's a tale as old as the 1990 film Pretty Woman.
Companies, once you buy them?
I sell them.
You sell them?
Well, I don't sell the whole company. I break it up into pieces, and then I sell that off. It's worth more than the whole.
So it's sort of like stealing cars and selling them for the parts, right?
Yeah, sort of, but legal.
So right about now, you might be thinking, okay, Sirota, private equity uses investors' money to kill companies like Red Lobster, Joann Fabrics, Toys R Us, and other iconic brands. In the process, it destroys communities and ruins people's lives. But you may also be thinking that those rapacious schemes must make a lot of money for the people investing in them. So you're probably thinking, hey, if you're someone with a 401k, shouldn't you want to get in on that action? That's exactly the question I had for someone who knows the answer. That's coming up after the break. Welcome back to Levertime.
My name is Edward Siddell. I'm a former SEC attorney that does forensic investigations of retirement plans, whether it's state pension plans or 401k plans. I've done over $1 trillion in forensic investigations.
As a lawyer and forensic investigator, Ted Siddell helps retired teachers, firefighters, and other government workers try to police their state and local pension systems to make sure that those pension systems are prudently investing retirees' money. I called up Ted Siddell because he can give us some unique insight into whether private equity investments actually pan out for investors, which seems really important if millions of Americans' 401ks are going to end up being put into those investments. Ted is an expert on this because he investigates pension returns, and pensions invest a lot of money in private equity. Under existing consumer protection laws that Trump may try to change, only very rich people and so-called institutional investors like banks or state pension systems for government workers can invest in stuff like private equity because it's so unregulated, opaque, and risky. Ted tracks pension investment performance, so I asked him how those pension plans have fared when they put their money in private equity.
Well, we don't really know because the values that these investments are assigned by the general partners, the people running these funds, are manipulated. They're not verifiable. And there's a conflict of interest. If you ask me what's the value of a portfolio I'm managing for you that I'm getting paid 1% or 2% or 3% or 5% on, I'm going to inflate the values. It's a built-in conflict of interest. So there is a conflict of interest in valuing these investments. As a result, the valuations are, at best, optimistic.
Ted is getting at the fact that private equity firms typically use investors' money to buy private companies that have not been bought or sold on the open market. That means that the true value of what private equity firms are buying for their investors is basically unknown, and that, therefore, what investors will earn from those investments is also unknown. Instead of trading stocks and bonds on a public stock exchange where everyone can see the prices of assets and where there's regulatory oversight, the private equity firms managing pensioners' savings get to just declare on paper what they believe their investments in private companies are worth. The pension systems won't really know the value of their investment until the private equity firm tries to sell those private companies that they bought up with pensioners' money. That might be fine if the ongoing valuations are honest and accurate, but there are fears that these investments have not been worth anything near what the private equity guys have claimed. And while the pension funds wait to find out the truth, the private equity companies get to continue charging those pension systems big fees.
What we've seen from over time, because it's been about 20 years now, that the returns are actually significantly below the public markets.
Do we have any data about when push comes to shove, when the market has to actually weigh in and these assets are sold and investors are asking for their money? Do we have any sense of what they're getting paid back?
Well, the data that we have is that when these state pension funds are forced to sell the assets, these private equity assets, they have to sell them at a discount. They're not able to sell them at the optimistic value that the private equity manager has assigned. So recently, I think it was about 2 years ago, CalPERS sold a bunch of its private equity investments. The discount at which they sold was, I believe, anywhere from 10 to 40%, which means that CalPERS, let's say, is a $560 billion pension fund. If its portfolio or a portion of that portfolio is worth 10, 20, or 40% less, that we're talking about tens of billions of dollars that's not there.
So why are these private equity investments potentially not panning out? Economist Eileen Applebaum says part of it has to do with a bubble. Back in the era of low interest rates, private equity firms were able to secure cheap loans to wage bidding wars, buying up companies at higher and higher prices. And now they potentially can't sell those companies at a great return. It's the old buy high, sell low problem. If you bought something for an inflated price and then the situation changes, you may have to sell it at a much lower price than you expected. And that means lower returns.
The prices of the target companies went up and private equity continues to buy them, even though it got more difficult to sell them at a profit. But it continued to buy them because interest rates were so low. Money was cheap. You might as well put it to work. So that explains, I think, a lot of what happened. It's just, you know, it's like in any industry. They always tell you past performance is no guarantee of future performance. And that's because if there's good performance, that segment of the financial markets will soon get crowded.
Ted Siddell says that private equity's potential performance problem is also exacerbated by all of the fees that private equity firms charge to manage investors' money. Fees that are way higher than what you might pay for cheap stock index funds in your 401k.
The fees that private equity funds charge are hundreds of times greater than what index funds and other low-cost, fully transparent investments charge. So you're talking about 5, 6, 7% versus 1 or 2 basis points. It's an enormous difference.
In other words, private equity managers are skimming such huge fees off their pension investors' money that the underlying investments can't outgrow the skimming. The result? The Financial Times recently reported that private equity investments have underperformed standard low-fee stock index funds over the last decade. That means that government workers in those big pension funds have been forced to pay huge fees to Wall Street billionaires, often in exchange for the same or lower returns than cheap index funds and mutual funds. In 2018, Yahoo Finance reported that private equity's combination of exorbitant fees and comparatively weak returns, quote, has cost U.S. taxpayers at least $600 billion, possibly more than $1 trillion. That's the amount that would have been generated had government workers' pension savings been put into something like a simple Vanguard fund. The fee problem has grown so large that federal regulators have warned investors about being fleeced by private equity schemes.
The SEC did a study a few years ago which found that 50% of all the private equity managers were charging bogus or illegal fees. an astronomical, a staggering percentage of the industry.
And if that wasn't shady enough, Ted Sedell notes that unlike other kinds of investments, private equity funds are allowed to charge one set of investors higher fees than another, meaning that they can charge workers exorbitant fees while giving their friends and family members zero fees on the same investments. And they can do it all in secret.
All mutual fund investors pay the same fees, and they have a proportionate share of the gains or losses of the investment program. Not so with private equity. Every investor pays potentially different fees, and every investor may get a different return, not only because they're paying different fees, but also their portfolio may be different. Certain plum investments may be pulled aside for certain lucky investors. And the remarkable thing about it is private equity has done this for decades with public pensions, convincing, assuring every state politician, every state board member that they're getting the best deal without anybody ever getting to see all the deals. So it's really remarkable sleight of hand there.
As you're listening to this, you might be wondering, if these investments are so risky and would be so dangerous for people's 401k accounts, why have public pension systems put billions and billions of dollars in them? Ted says it all goes back to the corruption of what some Wall Streeters call dumb money.
Public pensions are subject to what I refer to in my book, Who Stole My Pension, as politicization of the investment decision-making process. So investments for public pensions are not selected based upon merit, the best performance, but they're based upon political considerations. And the private equity industry, by charging the highest fees, has the highest potential to contribute to political campaigns. And that's what you see across the board, is that these improbable investments that have lots of vigorish in their fees share the fees with politicians. And the only explanation for how these investments are made really has to come down to political contributions.
There's also this aspect of wining and dining, which I think is not well understood. Talk to us a little bit about, beyond just campaign contributions, how private equity executives and essentially lobbyists, how they wine and dine, sort of solicit pension investments from public pension boards.
Yeah, well, there's a whole industry. There are all these national associations of public pensions that host conferences every year in Maui and at other lavish resorts where the Wall Street and private equity firms pay to go to meet these state officials and to wine and dine them. You know, you might have a kindergarten teacher from Chicago who's being taken on a hot air balloon ride over Albuquerque. Well, that's an experience he's never going to forget.
Ted says the judgment of those serving on state and local pension boards is often clouded by these luxurious experiences.
That's how the marketing happens. A kindergarten teacher from Chicago is not going to understand the risks, the fees, the conflicts related to private equity, but they're sure going to appreciate that hot air balloon ride. That's why Wall Street targets these guys, because they are the dumbest investors in the room.
There's also a don't ask, don't tell dynamic at play. Remember, private equity investments are not like stocks with a transparent price. They're investments in private companies, which means nobody actually knows how well private equity investments do until they try to sell those underlying assets on the open market. Economist Eileen Applebaum says that when private equity firms tell pension officials that their investments are doing great, those officials have no real incentive to figure out if that's actually true. Here's Eileen again.
These are guesstimates. Sometimes they're anchored a little bit to the real world, but sometimes, you know, they're just total guesstimates. And it's in everybody's interest to go along with the charade. So the private equity fund looks good. The pension fund looks like it can cover its liabilities because, hey, that asset was doing just fine. The person at the pension fund responsible for the private equity investments gets a bonus. Nobody has an incentive to reveal what's actually going on at the moment that is happening.
But it does seem like times may be changing. As voices like Ted Sedell and Eileen Applebaum have tried to sound the alarm, some institutional investors seem to be wisening up. Private equity just saw its third straight year of lower investment, as more and more institutional investors seem to be saying no to the risks, fearing that they'll never get back the money they're putting in. And their worry is justified. Thanks to those weak returns, a new Morgan Stanley analysis found that there's now a $1.5 trillion gap between what investors like pension funds have put into private equity and what private equity has paid back to those investors.
It's quite obvious that private equity is not paying out. It's not a secret. You can read this in Bloomberg, you know, twice a month, if not more often. Every financial newspaper or publication is covering the fact that they are not paying out what they had promised, and that the pension funds, the endowments, the insurance companies are suffering as a result.
Eileen Applebaum says it's a perfect storm of really bad headwinds.
Everything in their funds is overvalued. So one of their big problems is there are no buyers. The buyers, everybody knows that they never mark to market and that their funds are filled with things that are overvalued. They can't sell them at a cheaper rate because then they will discount everything in their fund. They can't IPO them because as soon as you do an IPO, the market will tell you what it's really worth. And it's worth a lot less than they say. So there's this disconnect between what the private equity funds are charging for the assets they're trying to sell and what the buyers say, hey, I'm not doing that. That's way too expensive.
A few years ago, when the Federal Reserve raised interest rates to deal with inflation, private equity companies were hit especially hard.
They bought a lot of stuff. 2021 was a peak year for them. Many years before that, they were buying lots of assets because money was cheap. Now they own those assets. They can't sell them. They have $3 trillion worth of assets sitting in these buyout funds that they have not been able to sell.
This is a serious problem for government workers whose pension funds rely on these investments selling at the prices that private equity managers have been promising. It's also an emergency for the private equity industry, which realizes that people are catching on to its game. In response, some private equity executives have been resorting to increasingly desperate tactics. The Financial Times recently reported that some private equity firms have been cashing out investors in older funds by selling their holdings to their own firm's newer funds. It's a kind of financial shell game that led the CEO of Europe's largest private asset management firm to recently say that private equity is a Ponzi scheme that will create what he called, quote, casualties in the next 3 to 5 years. So in light of this problem, what is one potential long-term fix for private equity billionaires? Well, that brings us all the way back to where we started this episode.
In life, you have to have a dream.
That's right. Blackstone CEO Steve Schwarzman's big dream and Donald Trump's possible executive order to let private equity into America's retirement savings accounts. The private equity industry sees your 401k as a chance to escape the problem that it created for itself. And a Trump executive order letting private equity access your 401k could effectively serve as a bailout. Your 401k could keep the private equity fee machine running. Your 401k could help private equity firms pay back the other investors they already owe. And of course, your 401k could help private equity billionaires keep paying themselves. As Massachusetts Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren summed it up,
these private equity billionaires want to rake in even more cash by using your 401k to make their secretive investments. The data show it won't make you richer, but it will make the private equity guys richer. Americans who are trying to save for retirement deserve answers about why any of this is good for them.
Of course, private equity lobbyists and their political allies are cooking up answers to that question. They have all sorts of arguments about why Americans should hand over their retirement savings to the Gordon Geckos on Wall Street. After the break, we'll kick the tires on those arguments and see if any of them withstand scrutiny. Welcome back to LeverTime.
Right now, only millionaires can invest in these markets. That shuts out everyday Americans, especially women, veterans, and people of color. we need a system where a black woman in Wilmington or a veteran in Georgetown has the same chance to build wealth as someone on Wall Street.
This was Delaware's Democratic Representative Sarah McBride touting her legislation that quietly passed the U.S. House last month. Legislation that would make it easier for private equity and hedge fund executives to access investments from working class Americans. The legislation is a bit different from Trump's possible 401k executive order, but it relies on the same core argument that private equity lobbyists have been making for years, that letting average Americans invest in private equity will generate more wealth and a more stable retirement for millions of workers. They tout this as democratizing finance, as economist Eileen Applebaum told me.
So private equity has a huge advertising or propaganda campaign going right this minute to tell workers, hey, if you worked at a company that had a pension fund, you would be invested in all of these alternatives. You would be getting all of the benefits of it. You would be getting all of the gains from it. It's very tempting. It's very difficult to be able to show what has happened to particular private equity funds. There's no transparency.
In the absence of real transparency about fees and returns, the private equity industry has been trying to convince Americans that its investments are not a get-rich-quick scheme for billionaires, but have instead been a huge gift to government workers relying on public pension systems.
Private equity delivers for public pensions.
This is an ad from the private equity industry's Washington lobbying group.
Helping 85% of Americans with a public pension. That's more money for retirement, even during a pandemic. Private equity means stronger pensions and secure retirements.
Even though high-fee private equity investments often do not outperform low-fee stock index funds, ads like this serve a purpose. They try to justify Wall Street's push to change consumer protection laws to let the private equity guys break into 401ks. Here's Eileen Applebaum again.
So you are going to have workers saying to their employers, we want plans that include these alternative investments. Most people have drunk the Kool-Aid in this country. They do believe that private equity outstrips the market, that alternatives are a good thing to be invested in. The hype is on. They're drumming up the interest. It's just like crypto. We want crypto. We want private equity. We want venture capital. We want everything to be available to you. And it's a democratic thing. You have a right.
To be sure, personal freedom and choice are powerful motivators in American culture. Even if a decision is a bad one, we seem to pride ourselves on at least being allowed to make stupid choices. So I asked Ted Sedell, why shouldn't we give ordinary Americans the option to invest in private equity, even if he thinks that option is a bad idea?
Well, because those investments are imprudent. They have failed. One could say, why don't we just eliminate the federal securities laws and eliminate the need for investors to get prospectuses? 401k investors will not be getting private equity prospectuses. They will not be getting the transparency. I mean, basically, you have to buy the argument that we should eliminate the federal securities laws and say there may be some really compelling investments out there. Some people will benefit. The vast majority will be harmed. But the argument that to open up 401ks to the highest cost, highest risk, least transparent investments ever devised by Wall Street, that's a good thing? Well, if you want to go with, you can do that, sure. And if you buy that argument, I would say immediately you should go right into crypto.
The insinuation in these kinds of arguments is that as a worker or a retiree, you will have a choice of whether to invest or not invest in private equity. And that sounds great, right? If you don't want your savings going into high-fee, opaque private equity investments run by Gordon Gekko, you could just opt out, right? But Sedell points out that, in fact, if Trump issues his executive order, you might not have any choice, because the money managers overseeing your 401k might be able to put your retirement savings into private equity without you even knowing it.
I would bet that if private equity ends up in 401ks, it won't be through standalone funds where the investor has to pick them. They'll be snuck into target date and other funds where the investor doesn't even really know what's going on. So the investor is told, invest in this fund and we'll make the decisions over the course of your work life so that, and we will allocate money to fixed income, to other assets, real estate, And of course, private equity, without your consent, without your knowledge, will take care of this for you. And that's the way I suspect it will grow. That's the entree they see. But when public pensions invest in private equity, they don't even know where the money is. They have no idea what it's invested in. And that's the way the private equity industry wants it, because they know damn well that your typical American worker is not going to understand and select an opaque private equity fund.
Of course, private equity firms will be competing with each other to try to convince the administrators of 401k plans to include them in their offerings. Won't that competition get those private equity firms to compete by at least lowering their high fees and increasing their transparency?
The private equity guys went after the dumb money in public pensions and were able for the last 20 years to say that the performance was whatever they made it up to be, without anybody really checking. And so, yeah, there is a real targeting of the dumbest investors. And one thing I can assure your listeners is that private equity has no interest in managing 401k money on competitive terms with full transparency. Never. Ask any private equity manager, will you accept a fee of 10 basis points? Will you agree to full transparency? The answer is no, and they've never done it in the past 20 years with state and local pensions, and they're never going to do it with 401ks.
Where workers and retirees might get a glimpse of what's really going on is in their 401k statements, which do show investment returns. But unless you're a finance expert or an economist, it may end up being difficult for you to detect private equity fees or underperformance, because it'll likely be hidden inside a larger portfolio. Private equity might be hurting you and your family, but you might not be able to see that.
The presumption is if your income in retirement is a couple of percentage points less than it would have been if they weren't there, what are you going to do about it? You won't even know it. You'll say, look how good my retirement is because I invested it in private equity. People don't really get it.
As of this recording, the stock market is near all-time highs, and many experts have been predicting a stock market correction or a full-on crash for years. Private equity firms often pitch their investments as a hedge against that kind of market downturn.
The argument that's been made over time is that private equity performs differently, does not correlate to the stock market. So you're diversifying away from the stock market risk, which is an interesting but bogus argument. What I always say to that is, likewise, you could go to Vegas and gamble, because I assure you, gambling in a casino does not correlate to the stock market at all. So is gambling at a casino diversifying your risk? And in fact, it is, because you're taking money out of this risk bucket and putting it into another risk bucket. But so the argument can always be made that cryptocurrency or private equity is a limit reducing risk through diversification away from the public markets. But that's a bogus argument that can be made about anything, including going to Vegas and cryptocurrency.
That Las Vegas metaphor is really perfect. We have a president who came out of the casino industry and who seems very interested in making it even easier for Americans to gamble their retirement savings in Wall Street's casino. But the casinos Donald Trump once owned are actually far more regulated than private equity. In that sense, an initiative to let private equity into Americans' 401k accounts is a boon for the owners of the Wall Street casinos. It makes it easier for Wall Street's pit bosses, the private equity guys, to grab even more money from gamblers who might not know that their life savings are on the line.
If you look at the median 401k balance for like a 65-year-old, it's like $25,000 or something. A staggeringly low number, whether it's $25,000 or $50,000. That's all they have saved. Can they afford to take the risks that heretofore have been reserved for the wealthy, sophisticated investor, i.e. the chance to lose all their money? I don't think they can. I don't think they should be taking those risks. If private equity is allowed into 401ks, investors are going to lose a lot of money, money they can't afford to lose.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Lever Time. Lever Time is a production of The Lever. This episode was produced by me, David Sirota, and Natalie Bettendorf. It was edited and mixed by Ron Doyle. You can subscribe to Lever Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, the PRX mobile app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, for ad-free episodes, exclusive bonus content, and access to The Lever's entire archive of investigative journalism, please consider becoming a premium subscriber. Head over to levernews.com to learn more about how to become a paid subscriber, or click the link in this episode's show notes. I'm David Sirota. We'll be back soon with another episode of Lever Time.